Welcome to Star from the Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have a talkcast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talk Show website, www.talkshow.com. And search for call ID 17702 or search for Starfleet Universe On Call and you'll find us there. And of course, if you want to join us on twitch.tv, which is a wonderful place, especially since that's where most of the chat room is active, and I would definitely recommend going there, which is to find us there, just go to twitch.tv/SFU On Call. And of course, you can contact me for any reason. My email address is sfuoncall, big surprise, @gmail.com. That's sfuoncall @gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, my podcasting account, where you can see what the next topic is going to be, is sfuoncall. Also, I post the YouTube videos there too. And if you want to follow me on my personal account, that's Paul Franz, PAULFRNZ. Just a reminder, I'm an ardent Catholic. I love tech, and I love my O. So, any of those bother you, don't follow me. And, of course, I have my last account, which is Franz Games. And that's FRNZ. There's no T in that. GAMES. And with that, you can follow what's going on Starfleet Warlord and also in, you know, SFB Online and FedCom Online when it comes to those things happening on that. And of course, this lovely TalkCast gets turned into a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB this week. Kent Ng posted a lovely picture from Kent Ng of his wonderful job of different buried shuttles. The specialty shuttles, you know, like a SWAC and things like that. And it was beautiful. So if you go on Facebook and go to ADB's page, you will find it there and you'll find that wonderful picture of those miniatures. Also, just one thing that ADB was looking at this week, they said basically they're looking at, it's a thought experiment, which is looking to translate the FedCom rules to like German and French. They're looking into using Google Translate to hopefully do the initial offering, you know, and then have possibly they might have to hire someone at that point, which takes money, who knows German and French and understands English and SFB in my mind, to fix any of the technical words that are in and make sure that the meaning is also the same. Personally, they're going to probably have to redo a full translation from a human being. I've got a little bit of experience with this, and that is from my own work. One thing we do translations as part of our products. And I know that we actually have human translators who do the work so that this is for a technical product. So, you know, we have different wordings depending upon which language you are, you use different words to mean the same thing. You might say, I'm logistics, shipment at in one place, and that might, you might use a totally different word that in English wouldn't mean shipment. It means something totally different in that other language. And of course, a reminder that ADB has all kinds of free stuff that you can download from StarfleetGames.com. Just go to the resources page. There's a link right there on the home page. Moving onward to the SFB Online tournaments. There are none. That makes that quick. And also, lastly, the library. No progress there at all. So no updates for either one. So either the SFB or FedCom. So with that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one and only Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, I thought Doug was going to show up, but it looks like it's just going to be moi. So hopefully you guys will enjoy what I had to say, and what I, this might be, for I know, this might be a very short podcast or something. Don't know. We'll find out, shan't we? Now, since Doug's not here, my backup plan, which I should have planned for, it's going to be flying by the seat of my pants. Okay. But I figured one thing I should do is one thing I did work on, and just so that you guys can see it. And let me see if I can get this. There. Okay. Now, okay, let me switch over. Oh boy. I've got kittens behind me. This, my dear friends, is what I showed you. I forget what it was, last week or the week before. I forget which. Excuse me, I'm a little thirsty. But this is Starfleet World. This is the aid. The idea is simple. It's gonna be a work in progress. Okay. One thing I'll be working on for this week is to add the generation of the JSON files, basically the order files that you would use to load up here. Which would you do is when you get the files, it'd be like orders.json. It would be the file. Let's call it that. It's gonna be different. It's gonna be actually unique to the corporation name and so forth. But what you're gonna be able to do is you're gonna be going in here, you're gonna click choose file, it will allow you to load the file locally, and then you can actually enter in the orders here. Now the one thing, this is a very simplified, I mean, this is, as I pointed out last, I'm pretty sure it's last week. I'm going to say last week. And that is that minimum viable product. To me, the minimum viable product means that you can go in, you could enter your orders, you can take the orders, you can then download them. And after you download them, then you can go and email it to me. Now, I'll be honest, I have not actually tested that scenario yet on my iPad, which is standing right here. I will do that I'll make sure that people can use it in the current games before I announce it. So that, you know, because what it will show you here is when you load the orders, you'll see in here and here, you'll see the amount of orders that you can enter, and you can enter into orders all you want. And that's fine. And actually, we'll make sure that the moves here are four characters, maximum four characters. You'll have your info, have your location, your name. You can't modify those. You can set the order, which is going to be two characters. The parameters, you know, one through six is four characters a piece. And then, of course, the long one, which is for, I need to specify the length of that, to be honest, and I forgot. Because I really should, so that a person will know that if it's completely invalid. Yeah, I don't have a way of showing you that the orders are valid or invalid. I want to get to that. Actually, I tested that for the component that I'm using to show this. I forgot about you guys in the podcasting that you're just listening to me, and I apologize. If you want to look at what I've currently got, this is a browser only. There's nothing on the back end. Nothing. The only thing that's right now running on the back end is a web server. Then it downloads everything locally, i.e. in your browser, and you can run from there. Now, I've set it up so that it, in theory, it could be run completely offline. Meaning that if you had the file, let's say they had your file either on your computer or, in theory, on the computer. I've not tested this yet. I've done everything that needs to be done for it. I just never seen it, a web app work offline. Now, my in theory, it's supposed to. If you do certain things, in this case, it's something called service workers. I know most of you are going, I don't know what that is. Those will act as a way of caching data. And usually, real quick, service workers, normally the whole idea of them is that they it duplicates any of the normal calls to the web server, to the back end. Not yet, Shelly. I'll be working on that. But on the back end. And so the idea is it caches that all those calls and so forth, so that if it's offline, you can still work. And if you update things and then that needs to be sent afterwards after you reconnect, then it can cache that up and go, okay, you're reconnected. Now send it. So, and that's basically what the whole idea of service workers are. Now, in theory, I shouldn't need to use a service worker, but you can. Now, obviously, there's limitations to the way this is. I'm not using local storage, so that if you go in and you go, let me look, what would that be? This is it. You reload the page. Boom. Everything that was on this page that you had entered in is gone. So you never want to do a refresh. So when you're done, the whole idea is you click the save button. Boom. It will then download that file from the browser to your device. So that should solve that. The idea is that you use it, you know, you work on it, then you save it. Work on it and save it. I'll work on possibly local storage later on. It can be done. I'm just one step at a time. when it comes to checking the validating the orders, the biggest issue that I found there, when it comes to the validating the orders, was that the validation didn't work the way I expected to work. Now maybe it's a bug in the component, but from when I read the description, it seems like it would do what I wanted to do, which is basically it would allow you to enter in the data. It would mark it as invalid. So you would see some kind of highlighting done or something along those lines. And then so that you can go back and you correct it and it'd be validated. But currently, it seems the validation checker and hooking into the validation of this tables here and doing a kind of validation on the change of when you actually change it, going, okay, is there a change allowed? Is it currently it's the same thing, which in my mind it should not be, especially given the description. The description said that it would validate it and then it would show it as a highlight. You know, it would show, I think, maybe gray it out or something along those lines. And that's what I was looking to do, which to me that'd be perfect. Because, you know, certain things wouldn't be available, but I'm not limiting you when it comes to, you know, like currently, if you use the DOS-based SF, Starfleet Warlord aid, or the GUI-based one, the one based on Java, if you do either one of those two, it will actually won't allow you to modify the none entries. Yeah, because those are the ones that you should never, those are invalid. If you actually enter in movement orders in those sections, that's invalid. Now, it's only invalid if you don't do something else, which is if you want to put in a prospecting or scan orders, those have to be in the first column. And if the first column is none, the program has to overwrite that. And in the case of this, I don't limit you, and therefore you can actually enter in the orders. Now, obviously, there's one thing that I need to figure out, and I really do. I'm not sure if I have to re-implement this whole thing, which is what I wanted to do. Okay, I got first minimum viable product. I will get it. So I like that the validation. If I can get the validation working the way I want to work, I will do that. If I can't, I can't. But what I really would like this to do is actually be able to hit special keys, which you can do in JavaScript. So you can do it on a web page. I'm not sure how many you've seen that, where you can press certain keys. Well, actually, I'm sure a lot. Actually, I don't know. I was going to say, I'm sure a lot of people have seen it in Gmail. Well, if you have never used the actual keyboard shortcuts in Gmail, you might have never seen it before. Because currently, I'm not sure if it's activated by default or not, but in Gmail, you can have it so that you have active keys and you can press like X for deletion or J for going down one selection and to select the next one. And then hit enter and boom, okay, it selects that piece of email and goes in and basically opens up that piece of email. I don't remember if it has the escape key thing. Yeah, anyway, so those shortcuts can be captured within the web browser, which is cool. Kind of scary, but it's cool. I say that's scary because it's surprising what kind of power a browser has, and definitely Google wants it to expand, but at the same time, as I pointed out before, that is, Google wants it so that the whole browser is your operating system, so the browser has access to everything, Bluetooth, Bluetooth, well, of course, GPS, but all these different, things locally that normally a browser has no right to really have access to. But Google wants to basically have it so that all that can be programmed into the browser, and therefore, since Chrome is always going to have those kind of special features, then you're going to, and since Google actually has Chrome, their own browser. Their browser will always have those features, and the hope that I think Google has is that all browser, let's say manufacturers, but let's say creators or not really manufacturers, Mozilla, Apple, that's about it at the moment. There's Google, which is Chrome, and you got all the Chrome derivatives, which are based on Chromium, which is, again, based off Google's efforts. And then, which is one engine. Then you have Firefox, which is another engine. And then you have Apple Safari, which is using WebKit, which is their engine. So currently, you only have three web engines in the entire ecosystem. And as it is, we are running into the issue. We are. At least I've not tried this out lately with TalkShoe. Previously, when TalkShoe did a revamp of of the whole of their whole browser experience here. This, if you notice right now, I'm running Brave. See, I'm running Brave. Brave is a Chromium-based browser, and basically the TalkShoe website would not work properly with Safari. You had to bring up Chrome or Chromium-based browser to use it, which means it's basically what's happening is that we're running into the whole Internet Explorer thing again, all over. The web developers are only designing for one browser. All the rest can go out the window. So, which to me means they're lazy, or at the very least, that those developers aren't worried about the smaller, smaller markets. And in the case of TalkShoe, here's the problem with not worrying with smaller markets. Some of the smaller markets are the iPhone. That one has just WebKit and Safari. That's it. No matter what browser you put on an iPhone, it's WebKit. So if it doesn't work in that browser, okay, people are not going to be browsing to those websites on their mobile devices. At least if you're selling a product, the mobile devices that have the most, have the people who are most willing to buy your product. So that's crazy. Now, this is available for anyone to look at. If you want to look at, have fun. This is sfuaid.com. That's aid, AIDE.com. If I call correctly, that is the British spelling of aid. And that's the one I use. Versus aid, like in first aid. First aid, there's no E on the end. At least for English. I mean, American English. That's one of those crazy things in the universe, which is that we have the same language, but totally different words. Totally different vocabulary. Well, not totally different, but you know what I mean. So, if you want to, you can take a look, see it. Obviously, and anyone who does not have the proper order file, not again, has to be that JSON base, because I was debating, and I decided against it, which is to take the current aid files, have it so you can choose file, you can load that, and then you can save it again. But that, in that case, those files mean nothing. The because here's the thing. Whether it's the aid files, which are database formatted, or it is the report file, both of those, when you click save, it's going to produce a different output file than you actually loaded it up with. So I figured that probably the best approach here is actually have it so that you load it up with the proper file and you save it. Then you load it up again, that same file that you saved, then you can then show it again, and then you can load that up again. So it's one file format, simplifies the process, and since I control the vertical, I control the horizontal, in this case, everything in the Starfleet Warlord universe, and when it comes to what files you get, then I can have it so that in the future, i.e. starting this weekend, I can go and produce new files and have it so that it is available for people. And at that point, when I've confirmed that it all works as designed, I can save it into the JSON file and then load it back up. Those files, then I have to take the JSON file for my own purposes and then convert it to an aid file, an aid turn file, and after that I can load that up into the engine. So the engine doesn't understand the new file format, but I have a script that converts it. Now, just to let you know a little other things that I worked on for those people who are running Starfleet Warlord, using Starfleet Warlord, you guys already know this. Or at least you should have experience with it. I'm sorry, I'm just thinking about whether I had two turns run last week or one. I'm pretty sure it was two. Because I'm starting up a new standard game this weekend. Hey, Iggy. I ran two games this weekend, and I'm starting up a new standard game two games last weekend. This weekend, I'm going to be running again two turns. One of those is going to be a new one for a standard game. And then, of course, we've got the Die Hard 53, which is going every single week at the moment. But, so anyone who's playing a game currently has already seen this, which is I did implement a couple of things I mentioned last week, which is including the year of the turn and the subject of the email, so that now people actually know what year it is that this report is for. So we should be good. And also I split out the maps to be a separate attachment, because previously all of the maps that were generated and were included in the email were all part of a zip file. And so to see them, you had to unzip the zip file. So what I did instead is that I decided that, okay, I'm going to include that. I'm going to go for a minimum viable product for SFW aid. And that is, have it so that you can use your email program, if you do a little bit of organization here, the email program to maintain your game. You can maintain your all the information about the game in your email program, which the great thing about that, and that I'm assuming that you have something like Gmail, or you have something along the lines of Hotmail/live.com, Microsoft's offering, or any other IMAP based web, email server, i.e. if you're not using POP, what that does, it takes the email that's on the server and downloads it, and then it removes it from the server. So that if you try to have multiple devices look at that on the email account, all of a sudden all the emails will disappear. Or you download it multiple times and you have to delete it multiple times. Or, you have to delete it multiple times from locally and on the server. So it's kind of pointless overall to do. Why would you want to delete the same email for every single device that you own? Most of us would be pulling out our hair because of that. So, the idea to have using the email client as the minimum viable product for Starfleet Warlord 8. That's where you can manage your games through email. Just create a folder for each game, and then you can, when you get your turns, you can save that turn into that folder, move your email from your inbox into that folder, and then from that folder, open it up. You can then you'll be able to save the order file, and then you go click, choose file. This will pop up and go, okay, choose your file, and then you click upload, and it will put it into the browser. Just to let you know, it does not actually upload it to the actual server. It does not. It just loads it into this browser window, this browser session itself. So I do not get your turns. Now, at some point, I might change things around a bit. You know, I might in the future go, you know, instead of save, I might have a button which is called submit. And so that when you click submit, it actually sends it off to me. Whether it's in an email or it is saved on the server or something along those lines. When it comes to that kind of thing, I want to be very, very careful because of currently this website has no login. So anyone, malicious or not, they can go choose file, they can load up any file they want. Whether it's valid or not, it doesn't matter. But if I add like a submit button, it's going to have an action which communicates with the server. Now, all of a sudden, now I'm creating spam. Maybe not to everybody else, but maybe to myself. You know? Possibly not even spam to myself. In theory, I could have it so that it saves it on the server. But still, then I have to worry about, what is it called? Traversal. Directory traversal attacks. In other words, it's part of the file name that gets uploaded is possibly a directory, you know, and I'd have to protect against that so that when it's saved, that it would then make sure it doesn't overwrite a file like the password file on a Linux box, you know, and that, you know, if you don't do that, that's the kind of things that can happen. And that's one thing I'm always have to be on guard for any time when someone sends me data, on the server side, I have to validate it. The web browser cannot be trusted for validation. That's just the honest truth, because of hackers can get in, you know, send invalid data, bypass the browser and send invalid data directly to the server. And then if you don't validate it, then you're screwed. So that's something I might look forward in the future. At the moment, I'm going with, the minimal viable product, which is I'm hoping that I can get it so that this work, which is on an iPad or an iPhone. I'm looking at the tablets mainly just because of when it comes to phones, overall are too small, and I have to check about this because the big issue here, of course, is that that's pretty small, and this does not resize. So to see this on a phone like my little phone here. There's a little iPhone. It's an iPhone 12 mini. And just for giggles, let's see if I can do this. Give me a sec. For those who are watching me. Excuse me. I'm having this hard time. Okay. And go. Okay. At the moment, see, it's really, really small. I was probably going to want to do it like this, which is sideways, you know, landscape mode. Now, can you imagine that I've not loaded anything up yet, but the cells that you enter in the data are going to be ultra, ultra small. I do support, you know, the editor does support tabbing from cell to cell. Now, it doesn't have one of the nicer features of the current DOS-based aid, which is you enter in 4 characters, and then it skips to the next cell. This currently does not support that, and I'm not sure if it can. As I said, you know, this is a minimum viable product. I might at some point rewrite the whole thing so that it's a little more friendly, but you know, and has some additional features like one of the nice features of the GUI-based aid or the text-based aid, as in DOS-based or the Java-based aid, is that it allows you to take the line and copy it. Bum, 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 bum. Because invariably, for those who, run, a large fleet, invariably you got a lot of ships that are going exactly the same route, doing exactly the same moves for every single turn. I mean, I'm just going to go with every single movement. They're all moving the same spot. So that's one of those nice things that would be nice, which is to have the ability to copy it and then go paste, 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 just paste it all along down, down the page. Now, at the moment, it can't do that. And I'm not sure if the component I'm using to create this in a relatively quick fashion, if it can ever do it. Because it doesn't quite understand the concept of rows and columns per se. This is a certain row number, a certain column number. Doesn't quite exist. So it doesn't have an idea. Actually, it knows where it is in the table. It just doesn't know where it is. I know it sounds goofy, and I can understand if you don't understand that's fine. As I said, it's not completely clear. It's back end work. It comes up behind the scenes of the actual. You can see it on the screen, but what's happening behind the scenes? Because it's all HTML, and HTML is not designed to have, it's not designed to have like an Excel spreadsheet just as part of it. So we'll just early on in the small games or the beginning of the games, I don't think that's as big of an issue, but later on it is. But I'm hoping at the very least people can use this if they're in dire straits. If you need to use your phone or you need to use your tablet because you're on the go, that you can use this as a way of working on your orders. Obviously, as I mentioned before, you have to remember to save those orders. Now, in theory, you should be, as long as that page never does an update, and that's the key here, because I know that the iPhone and the iPad does have an issue there, which is it assumes that any data there is going to be there. So it to save memory, it will kind of close certain browser tabs to open free up memory. But the problem with that is that when it goes to it, it has to reload the page. So it reloads the page. Everything that was on that page gets lost. As I said, I don't do any local storage. That's something that, of all of the things that I would want to work on next when it comes to this, is local storage. Now, I looked in local storage about it, and programmatically, I thought it was going to be nicer. I thought I could actually access a SQL database. And it's like, no, you can't. It's just a simple, what's called a key value mapping. You have a key, and that stores a value. Simple. But what that means is that to save each one of these cells here, it's going to have to, for saving the cells here into that local storage, I have to create a key based on that. So it might be, the key might be ship_1_1 and then maybe just ship_1. Seven underscore two and so forth for each, so for each one, it's saved. Because you don't want to save the actual like designator, which in theory would be fine. But the problem is that in Starfleet Warlord, you want a certain order. You know what you want to maintain that order. If you just save the key, there's no guaranteed that the order that you put the key values into the database is the same order that you'll be retrieving it. If you iterate through the values, there's no guarantee. This is one thing you always have to keep in mind. So, and you can do the same thing for this and this. Now, if you want to have it that way, then that means all the information here would have to be saved in that key. You know, that'd be the value for that key, would be that. Or if you want to save individual, if you just want to update individual ones, then you have to have a key for each one of those. And so then you have the whole issue of generating keys both for saving and getting. So, excuse me. I've got you little putz. Goodbye. Sorry, my little kitten decided that he wanted to climb up my leg and I tried to beat him to it. Crap. Excuse me. Yes, is there something I can help you with? No, you're not getting my water. No. Excuse me. You are a putz. I love you. Goodbye. Oy. My cat was chewing on my cables. Big surprise, he's a cat. He chews on cables. Will you stop that? And no, you're not getting my water. There. If you want to play with the cup, have fun. There. Now I've given him his cup, a cup, so he can now play around with it, drink, you know, try to lick any of the last vestiges of water that's in it, and can leave me alone. More importantly, so I can finish this podcast. So, you know. It's now available for people to use. And as I said, I will make it available for everyone's use. You know, if anybody wants to use it, feel free. You know, that's why for those of, I will explain this in an email or posting on Facebook exactly my thought processes on this. Obviously, y'all folks that are listening, thank you, are listening to me now, have a heads up on what's coming, that what's been happening with this. And this is actually, if you think about it, this is the second known iteration of this. The first one, I tried to use GWT. And unfortunately, I found that GWT is no longer supported, and therefore it makes it even more difficult to use overall. And what was got replaced by, it's like, oh, you got to be kidding me. What it got replaced with is it takes Java code and just converts it to JavaScript. So all the beautiful support that was in GWT for its own model when it comes to streaming and other things, that's gone. You know, that got wiped out of, it's gone from support. In theory, you can use GWT, and there is a community, at least from what I see, there is a community. I'm not sure how active it is, because I actually didn't go and look for the community and start asking questions about GWT and how to do certain things. So I just, so I dropped that. So I went, then I started learning React, because I looked at React. React looks kind of cool. Because for one thing, which was a technology called GSX, which is basically, the neat part about that is that it allows you to have custom HTML. You create your own custom HTML, and what happens is that, custom tags in HTML, and those are actually called JavaScript in your browser. So, and it has a certain model that goes on when it comes to React, which is actually a well-known developer environment. But I was learning that, and it was taking so long. I went, let's try something simple. I went from basic, went back to the most basic one, which is, it's not quite plain JavaScript. It's like this close. It's still basically, it's a well-known framework for many, many years. It's been, I think it's like 13 years old at this point. And that's called jQuery. So, and jQuery, mainly what it does is it wraps certain JavaScript functions, but the biggest thing it does is selectors. It creates, you create a selector way of discovery of the different objects, on the web page. So that's what that does, and that's partly what I did my development in, which is jQuery when it comes to that. And that's why how I did this was doing jQuery, and actually this part here, the editable table is developed by not the makers of jQuery, but it's created to be compatible with jQuery and something called, I think, Bootstrap. I think it is called. I have to look and see what Bootstrap is, to be honest.
What are you doing? You want that? No.
Again. Say goodbye, Zuka. Zuko, sorry. Goodbye. Ay, frustrating, to say the very least. But anyhow, and that's why I finally was able to get it done quickly. I had a weekend, and I did most of the work in like a weekend. The tough part, there were certain things which in my mind were the most difficult part, which was the most challenging. Fortunately, I had my friendly neighborhood internet search, in this case, DuckDuckGo. I was able to find what I needed to find, which is two things, which is one, the ability to, when you choose a file, it will then allow it to load it up in the browser itself. It's kind of neat. I figured there had to be ability there, especially given of... Well, in theory, you didn't have to. What are you doing? Hey, let go of my... Grab my microphone. Hopefully, don't hear that much in the podcast. And I apologize if you did. When it comes to him having his claws into my microphone. That was number one. Number two, this one was the more difficult one, which is the save. Have it so it can actually, you can generate a contents of a file, whether it is binary or text-based file, and have it so that you, when you click save, it will actually download it from within the actual browser window, which in my mind is quite cool. And that, because I want to be able to do this. I want...
Bye-bye.
I wanted to do this completely in the browser. I didn't want to have to worry about any back end whatsoever. So that, you know, this, because of that, this is very, 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 very scalable. That's the great part about this, is it's very scalable. So hopefully, you know, I can get this, I can put out the turns orders, and I can explain to people, okay, this is why you have this new file. And what is the meaning in all this? You know, that kind of thing. So that people understand, and I'm sure currently the Starfleet World of Players have a question about their emails. I've yet to hear anyone complain about it. I haven't heard anyone mention, it's like, hey, well, why are you sending the maps twice? Because basically I am. I'm sending them as part of the zip file, but I'm also having it as part of the email. So I haven't heard a single person complain about it. I'm not sure whether they like it or don't like it. Haven't heard anything, which is weird. I'm assuming, since I have heard zero complaints about it, that no one's complaining. Therefore, it means no one dislikes it. I'm willing to bet some people actually enjoy it, that now that they can have, they don't have to open up the zip file. They can actually look it up, you know, on their phone, their tablet. They can look at the maps without actually using another program to unzip it or whatever, to look at the contents of the zip file. So it makes it a little bit easier there. Now, there might be a point in time, and this might be long ago and far away, which is, there might be a point in time which I don't actually include a zip file. Though that might be more of a personal part-on-person thing. Because currently, in theory, now that I extracted the maps from the turn, no, actually, I can't. I was going to say, I could actually have said, don't longer include the zip file, but I have to include the zip file because the zip file contains all the reports. Because I split up the main report, which is, well, by the way, in theory, you don't need the PDF files. You can actually just take the email and do that. Now, the one thing I'd probably want to do with the email is to make the email more beautiful. You know, because currently it's a plain text email. For me, that's great because low bandwidth and so forth. I know it doesn't really, the amount of bandwidth that it would actually do is probably wouldn't be that much worse. It might take the same report and explode it to be around twice the size. I'm not sure people really care because the reports are really, really small. But if I can, in theory, if I make it as an HTML, you know, based email, you know, that might be something that somebody might want instead. And if I do that, then I wouldn't have to include the PDFs, and they can just use the HTML page that's included in their email, in which case I just have to include the HTML page and then include the couple attachments, which would be any maps that are generated, and of course the turn file, and that'd be it. So it might simplify things down when it comes to that. But what I'm going to do is this weekend, send out, you know, have it so the turns include the file to load it up here, make sure that it all works, meaning goes from the file that I sent them to have it so that, you know, the file I sent them, then load, you know, place, you know, put in the orders, and then take those orders and have it so on the back end, have it so that I actually can take the JSON file, and then from the JSON file, create the order, the Starfleet Warlord engine order file, load that up, and have that all work. I'm not sure if I'm about waiting for the last step, But I'm definitely, I might just make sure that you can load it up here. It creates the proper file, and I can generate a Starfleet Warlord engine file, turn file. So anyhow, I think I'm going to wrap it up this evening with that. Obviously, if you're not interested in Starfleet Warlord or Starfleet Warlord 8, this was probably the most boring podcast that you'd ever can actually listen to. But here's the one thing to keep in mind, and I've mentioned this before, and that is that the future is the web as the UI, the web browser as the UI. And I've done some preliminary work when it comes to SFB Online. Now, the question when it comes to that is less to do with SFB Online itself, because the minimum viable product for that is not SFB Online itself, but a rudimentary game, which is you can play Starfleet battles and have it online. Now, in theory, we could fall back and go play by email, that kind of thing, asynchronous play, and have the same kind of idea where you create an orders of what you're going to do when they come for you. So that's the future, and that's what you might, for SFB Online, FedCom, what you might see in the future when it comes to web-based products from Franz Games. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.